The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 25th of November, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I got a full show today, a super full show. First of all, today is the beginning of 16 days towards ending gender-based violence, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, and gender-based violence again? I was trying to find out a way to say, like, violence against mangoes. But I don't think that fit. Anyway, it's an important day. And most important thing is we're not just focused on ending violence against women. We're focused on healing people's lives to ensure that they don't recklessly mete out violence against others. Sometimes in our own crises, in our own trying to get a grasp on what's going on in our own lives, we're spilling over with our own personal trauma and crisis. And we're just not aware of how that impacts and affects the lives of others, how that presents and manifests as violence in their lives. Sometimes we're just trying to get a hold of ourselves and don't realize the extent to which we're hurting other people around us. Anyway, 16 days of activism is a wonderful time to be working towards these issues, in particular, the elimination of violence against women and children and men. This morning on Morning Blend, Alicia Wallace and guest represented Equality Bahamas as they talked about their programming for the 16 days. And let me just say that they have 16 days of awesome, entertaining, educational programming that we should all be tuning into. And if you want to tune into it, you can look for Equality Bahamas on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. There's a couple of housekeeping notes. I had to be out on the road early this morning. And if your cable is not on, I want to give you some entertainment so you don't stress yourself out. Why do you need cable if you could just drive on the streets of New Providence for entertainment, spontaneity, adventure, and suspense? And if you like horror movies, streets of New Providence are the perfect place for you. So I want to say this morning. Dear tow truck drivers, if you tow in a brand new Mercedes on the back of your tow truck, why would you drive your tow truck like it's a Paso? I mean, why? Just tell me. And why are you all on the road at 8:30, 8:45 in the morning, driving like it's 2 a.m. after the zoo? If you're sleepy, you don't have to get in your car to drive, you know. You could catch 5 more minutes sleep. You could sit there for 10 minutes and kill that tea before it's time to go. Kill the tea and the gas one time. But why are you all on the road driving like you in your personal car at the beach, just chilling on your phone? Are you watching a movie at peak traffic time? An interesting time in traffic this morning, to the point where I wanted to say, if you are over 50, you know when we was in primary school and we used to tell you have a peanut-shaped head and you have an almond-shaped head? If you're over the 50 and you have an anvil-shaped head, right? How you still don't know how to select the lane that you want to... How you get that old and don't know that? In fact, let me tell you all what inspired this morning. I had to watch an elderly, disabled man who waited patiently for traffic to stop so he could cross the road. Our car, we stopped for him. We had to watch him attempt to cross the road as a young driver decided that they were going to pull off on the side of the road in front of him to bluff as he's crossing the road. Mind you, the driver was parking illegally in front of a police station. And still, it's as if he didn't even see the man with the cane trying to get into the spot he's pushing his car in. I don't know what has happened to you, but it's time for y'all to stop and think about what it is you're doing behind these motor vehicles. Because these motor vehicles are, and you should know that because you feel powerful when you get behind the wheel. That's why you drive the way that you drive. You can kill people with these vehicles. But y'all act like wait nothing. And this has got to stop. And what a wonderful time. It's Thanksgiving time. Just a little care, concern, maturity, mindfulness. These are the things that we need to be modeling for not just young Bahamians, Bahamians as well. Once a man, twice a child. The job of community building is never done. And on that note, I want to say good morning to Officer Bethel and the hard-working officers and staff at Fox Hill Police Station. They are working with community watch programs to keep our neighborhoods and communities safe, especially over the Christmas season. Out to Kino Wong and the Community Watch Council, the National Community Watch Council. I know they will be working with the police hand in hand to have as safe a holiday season as possible. Good morning, officers. Good morning, Kino Wong. All of the members of our nationwide neighborhood watch groups. Y'all stay safe out there. Now, today is the day. We talking an FNM leadership race. I put it off long enough. So if you want to join this conversation, you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. My guests who will be joining me in this are Mr. Jace Brannon, Mr. Tate Adley, and Mr. Denzel Bazard, all from Spectrum Politics. And we're going to have a colorful conversation this morning about the way forward for the FNM. The first thing I want to say is this. I never got an award, but I would not start this race on Frank Watson Boulevard. That's all I could say. Don't start it there. The text says, great show as usual. I am opposed against violence against women, especially the mango skin woman. Please don't damage our native mangoes. First of all, you can't, as beautiful as the mango is, and as lovely is, you can't be careful referring to a woman as a mango. Now, sometime it wake, you know. When you're putting them lyrics down, you're trying to get married, that is wake. But you got to make sure that in your generalizations, right, you don't offend anybody, nor do you create an environment where other women and men think that they can objectify women. That's a thin line. Because mango is beautiful imagery in Caribbean poetry. You call me a mango, look here, I can blush and melt one time. But you got to be careful when you use that language. And that's a part of the discussion in 16 Days of Activism. The general public to acknowledge the space that we take up and how our actions, our speech, or our mere presence in a space could negatively impact others. But we come to talk about something a little bit different today. We got sick of activism. We got lots to talk about, including this marital rape discussion. So I think I have a perspective that hasn't been raised or brought to the table yet that I want to share on that. But we do too much. Last two things, is Turkey Day. It's Turkey Day. Now, before you all say, man, Aaron, you say you use a Bahamian, use a nationalist. What you talking about Turkey Day for? Well, first of all, we have to recognize the Bahamas' intricate and complex and colorful relationship with the United States, right? It's unfair to say that we are two separate nations when you think about the extent to which Bahamian families are both planted and rooted in the Bahamas and the United States. On my paternal grandfather's side, the vast majority of his siblings moved through the Bahamas to the United States, right? So I got as much American family as I have Bahamian family. But the most important thing to note is this. If you, on Thanksgiving Day, and you have two plates, look for a neighbor and give a plate to your neighbor. Because not everybody is in the same position to give thanks this year. All right, glad that I got those things out. And just in case you didn't get the point, you all drive better, please. Put your cell phones down. A car is a weapon if not used properly. And you are not considering the extent to which you could destroy your fellow Bahamian's life in the blink of an eye through a mere lapse of judgment or attention to the road. Kermit, let's play that song unless it's time to go to a break. All right, so that's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we're going to let Mr. Jace Brannon, Mr. Tate Adderley, and Mr. Denzel Bazard tell us who they think is going to win the FNM leadership race. I don't care who wins once it's the Bahamian people, to be honest with you. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family and family is important to us.
COVID-19 doesn't take holidays off and neither should you. We can celebrate the holiday season while continuing to follow all public health protocols and regulations. We must also remember to wash our hands and sanitize frequently. Wear our masks, cough and sneeze into our elbows, disinfect items brought into our homes, stay at least 3 feet away from others in public, and remain at home when we're feeling unwell. Let's have a happy and healthy holiday.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 25th of November, 2021. That means it's the beginning of 16 days of activism. We're one day away from the anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas. I just want to say to y'all men's dem, don't be mad at us that the first time round we didn't vote for y'all, you know. We had to test you out. We had to see what y'all was into, which is going to do with a little bit of power. But trust us, by the second time round, we was with y'all. We put it together. Anyway, tomorrow is the anniversary of women's suffrage in the Bahamas. And Saturday, the Honorable Hubert Minnis is going to get his ACR, his annual confidential report. I have a feeling that when they gave him the first report, he appealed it. He went straight to the Supreme Court and said, I'm trying to appeal this, buddy. Now, if you don't know what an ACR is, I almost didn't know because I'm not a civil servant. Only civil servants know what that is. But ACR is your annual confidential report. And that's like your evaluation as a civil servant every year. Well, Minis, you didn't like the first one. You put it to appeal. And now you're getting the second one, buddy. And so I've invited the team from Spectrum Politics to join me today to help me weigh and balance my commentary, because I dared bias against the political culture as we talk about the FNM leadership race. Now, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves briefly and make sure you do a good job. Don't let me come behind you and have to introduce you again. And tell us which are the colors you represent on the spectrum. Let's start with you, Mr. Bazard. Right to it. Yeah, you got to get right to the mic with the mask on.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Denzel Bazard. I am a representative of the PLP. I am a registered member of the PYL.
Okay.
So there's no mistake as to who I represent.
So you licensed to get beat up on today. That's good. That's good.
I am. So I'm, like I said, when we spoke earlier today, I'm here for some color commentary.
All right.
Just here to keep it fair and balanced, as people see.
Because I know the FNM feel like this is all about them. They just get very tight when it comes to these voting things. They don't want nobody talk their business. Boy, when they, I think it was Jared Higgs or somebody from Guardian almost get pushed down when he was at the meeting they had the other night. It was hot in there. Anyway, these political parties like to keep these things to themselves as if it only impact them. But what I want to ask you guys today is how we think this leadership race is going to impact the other parties, including the PLP. We get to that in a bit. Now, Mr. Adley.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Go on. I was already ready.
Oh, Lord. My name is Tate Adley.
Yeah, straight into the mic.
I would say that I am independent at the moment. I have not aligned myself to a particular political party.
Yeah.
And so I think from today, my standpoint will probably be from the people, the general public.
Okay.
Just analyzing it from a biased and balanced view, as Denzel said.
All right. Mr. Brennan, good morning.
And good morning. Good morning to you, Aaron, and good morning, Bahamas. My name is Jason Brennan. It's good to be back on the show. Of course, everyone at this point knows that I had a certain color attached to me for several years. But like Tate said, I'm representing the voice of the people. I'm an independent, although I am looking at all the political options available and doing a little bit of soul searching on that front.
Now, Tate, we know you as a member of the Guardian Radio family. You are co-host on Saturday morning's Eye Opener.
Right.
With Don Sargent.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So tell me again. You sure you ain't got no color in this race? That's one more time. You ain't got no color.
No color.
And Jace, you giving up on the DNA.
Oh, boy. I think the DNA gave up on themselves, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair
that's
analysis.
A fair enough, yeah.
I just want to say something that ain't nobody said yet, but look here, FNM, y'all don't, these by them give up on, they don't even want to give y'all critique. Because I thought one person would represent, or would bring an analysis of the PLP, one person, not for today, but for Spectrum Politics generally, one person would bring an analysis from the FNM or of the FNM and another from the DNA or of the DNA.
Well, I have some good news for you on that, Aaron.
Yeah.
As you can see, the last time we were here was only one person and now we've got three. And the team is expanding and multiplying.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, of course, because the convention is so close, you would have to understand from a young FNM's point of view, maybe speaking right now publicly about the party's business may not be good for their business. But after the convention, we do expect to be able to unveil some of the persons that have been working behind the scenes.
All
the
right. FNM. So now, okay, a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, do y'all have, I heard y'all say, Tate, you represent the people. Jace, you are taking time to make an assessment of the political culture and where you want to align yourself. But I didn't see anybody talking about representing a third party in this political analysis space, like the opposition parties.
Sorry, in terms of?
Well, the politics. See, because PLP won, the FNM lost. We expect that. One or the other, one or the other. The far more interesting part about 2021 general election was the performance or the non-performance or the complete lack of performance by other opposition parties other than the PLP.
Right. So I'd like to say that I am a representative of the PLP party as a financial member of the PYL, but
okay.
I am not a political sycophant. So
okay.
I still like to...
you could bring that commentary in.
Again, okay. To be fair and balanced. So that's why I wanted to come today, so we can actually have a fair and balanced discussion about how we talk about the leadership race.
Okay, that's good, because I come to slap up today. listen, from I hear Carl Bettle liken the PLP to the Pharisees, right? I come to slap up today because old Carl Bettle only gone there to slap up.
Obviously, that's a ridiculous statement. I don't understand why that would be made. But here we are today, so we can discuss it. Let's go.
All right. Well, let's look at the candidate's face. And then I'm going to get into this question about youth engagement and political culture, right? Are you surprised by the shortlist? Kwesi Thompson, Hiram Lewis, and Michael Pintard.
Surprised? I mean, I think a lot of us, when we were commentating before the election, if you had asked us a couple months ago if these would be the front runners, none of us would have come up with these names.
Yeah.
But then again, the F&M caucus is very limited by the persons who ended up in parliament. I was a bit surprised to see Shannon Cartwright not throw his name into the race, but I hear whispers that he may be considering, you know, deputy leader or chairman down the line. I think it's a surprise given the outcome of the election. But, you know, they are probably the most experienced of the three options that the F&M has right now.
Now, why are they limiting themselves to only the people who are in the House?
Well, I think from a standpoint, political standpoint, I think they see winning your seat as a sort of political confidence in that certain candidate. So I think from that standpoint, it kind of makes sense to limit it to persons who would have made it to the House of Assembly.
All right.
Right.
Right. But by looking at people like Dwayne Sands, Loretta Butler, who with or without a seat have a degree of experience and presence in politics that would warrant them taking the helm for a short amount of time, maybe?
Well, you have to think about how the general public views politics. They would want somebody that's actually in power at the time to be running for their front runner.
Okay, I mean, not me, but looking at the slate, not me, but I appreciate the point you're making. No, it's a sound point.
I think it's fair to say that the general public would want that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I agree with Denzel. You have to look at the demand for those persons. I think in our sort of sectors, we still talk about Dr. Sands. We talk about Loretta Butler-Turner, since we're mentioning F&M potential candidates. But when you look at persons within the political party who will be voting on Saturday for their choice, you don't hear those names often. And I think it is just this, kind of like Tate was mentioning, this unwritten rule: if you have power, you have say. And if you have no power, you have no say. I don't think it's right necessarily, but that seems to be the prevailing wisdom.
Okay, but when I look at the F&M, I look at the party and my limited, dear F&Ms, I don't know nothing about y'all party. I only know what I see when I on a jitney driving past y'all office, right? I don't know nothing.
Right there on Mackey Street.
I ain't got no leak. There ain't no leaks and nothing like that. But when I look at the slate, first of all, Pintard is the only person who could get up there and say, I am ready to offer myself to lead the whole F&M party and potentially the country.
And I am so glad you said that, because when we were asking each other who would be our prediction for who would be the leader of the F&M party. And guess who said Michael Pintard?
Denzel, the best
member of Spectrum Politics.
Denzel is hanging his hat on this prediction. Right, listen, he did make it a long time.
That was my prediction.
Let's be fair. When we look at the other two candidates, they can't stand on their own on the pedestal of leadership. They don't have the money. I mean, and if you guys do have the money, then I want to know why Grand Bahama don't have the money got the money, right? If you have that type of influence and affluence to stand on your own, why have we not seen that manifest in your own constituencies, right, and on that island? I'm getting the impression that, from what I've seen, Pintard is the only person who could get up there and say, I'm standing here by myself, right? The other two, to me, they feel like they're being backed by somebody. And so I want to ask you, what do you think are their strongest points in leadership? Lewis, Thompson, Pintard.
Well, I think coming from the perspective of a Grand Bahaman, what I like about Iram specifically is that And looking at his constituency,
just a little louder.
And looking at his constituency, because I am in a constituency.
Yeah.
I realize that he's doing stuff. When I say he's doing stuff, he is working with the port as well. And so I think as his role as an MP, he's sort of a facilitator and making sure that the persons in his constituencies have opportunities. And I think that's very good. And then another thing that he did in our particular area, and it may not sound like nothing, but he built us a park. And so...
But that's what he's supposed to do.
Right, right.
That's like saying, mommy, don't beat us.
Right.
And we, for that, we give her praise.
So I will say, I think, and the bar is very low, unfortunately, when it comes to MPs, right? And I would say that Lewis is doing stuff as well. Kwesi, I've been in his constituency, and I think comparing it to what happened during Hurricane Dorian, I think development is happening there because I understand they fixed the road up there that was broken. So I would say that these people are doing things, but particularly to...
All right, so here's another question. Of the three, who has the best potential to work with Ginger Moxie and the Port Authority to improve or enhance or quicken the pace of development? And aside from that, when I was talking this question over with some people and I was telling them, to be honest, how is it that the three candidates are Grand Bahamian? Has Grand Bahamas produced anything in the last 4.5 years to suggest that their MPs should take the helm of leadership of the party? And the person said to me, well, the tech industry is actually taking root and there's been some growth in the development of that space in Grand Bahama. Is that true? And of the three candidates, who has the best potential to work with the PLP MPs and cabinet ministers from Grand Bahama and the Port Authority to drive that development forward?
You know, I wish we had a greater sample size where we could have asked these different candidates these questions so that we could know the exact answer to it. But I did hear Michael Pintard say during his nomination speech that he thought that many of the PLP MPs that were elected this time were impressive to him personally and persons of good character and quality, that they will, under his leadership, attempt to, you know, oppose where it's necessary but work constructively where possible. And I know that's a little bit of rhetoric, right? We hear that sometimes from politicians. But he is the only one who has consistently, in his most recent speeches, mentioned that theme of cooperation.
I
tend to, you know, take someone at their word when they say that until they prove that they have not followed it. I'd be interested to see. I haven't heard anything like that from Kwesi Thompson or Iram Lewis.
Correct.
All right.
Not to say they wouldn't do it. It's just not something I've heard them mention.
Do you expect any surprises on Saturday?
Well, with the history of the FNM, I think a surprise would be a good bet. Let me just say this very quickly. This is the first convention on either political side in 20 years where there is no incumbent. So you had the PLP after the 2017 defeat. They had an incumbent deputy leader who then ran for leader. So he became the front runner. Mm-hmm. You had incumbents all around with...
Okay, so you meaning that Peter Turnquest is not running for leader.
Right. And I do want to say now, just thinking about it, you did have the 2012 race where there was no incumbent, and then Hubert Minnis became the leader. But he was backed by persons and sort of thrust into that seat. This is three different candidates who don't appear to have the consolidated support of the party's top brass, and they're fighting it out to see which of the three will win. And I think that's a unique situation for the FNM, and because it's so unique over the last 20 years, I would not be surprised to be surprised on the convention floor. Well, I don't know what it will turn into.
So my thing is this. Minnis is not a lawyer. And over the last, especially over his tenure as leader of the opposition and then leader of the government, we've had this conversation pop up. We don't need no more lawyers to run the government. The lawyers are crooked. But what we really need are people who have a sound grasp of legal principles, constitutional principles, and the rule of law, right? But so Minnis is not a lawyer. He can't pull an Ingram. He can't go into them law books and find the thing that, you know, the switch in the FNM party, and then all of a sudden minutes show back up and look, I qualified, y'all don't understand the law.
Right.
That's the type of surprise I'm looking for. Now, mind you, I don't know if the FNM have a Minky Isaacs in their party. His buddy, if you ain't Minky Isaacs in your party, you can expect anything, right?
I'd have to, full disclosure, I have to say that I do work in the legal field.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would be a bit biased in saying that I do believe it is very important to have, I don't think it has to be a lawyer in the leadership race, but I think it is extremely important when we talk about legislation, and legislation is a huge part of the government process.
Yes, yeah,
of course. So
and understanding the rule of law and the balance of powers and authorities.
And that's why we've had so many lawyers in the leadership role
right.
in our country.
Is Pintard a lawyer?
He's not.
I'm not certain.
I don't think any of them are lawyers, are they? Is Thompson a lawyer? Boy, now, Kwesi, if you are a finance man and a lawyer at the same time, you may have just put a shine on your resume. That may be a step up for you. But that's a big concern for me, right? I have a feeling, well, I have a feeling because I'm not a lawyer, nor am I a professional anything. I have a feeling that Minister's administration would have operated differently if he had a sounder grasp on constitutional principles like the rule of law and legal principles, particularly when governing under a pandemic. And understanding his obligations. But that's just me.
I would have to agree as well. And I think that obviously you wouldn't want the entire governance to be lawyers. But I think it is very important for there to be lawyers in our governance system. Mm-hmm. Because we have to think about legislation as well and how we amend legislation. Right. And for that to happen, we have to have lawyers in that position.
I do want to say fact check wise that Kwesi Thompson is an attorney.
You're right.
Michael Pintard is not. And I'm still looking up Iram Lewis right
now. Boy, looking at, because Iram, if you are an attorney and the fastest runner in the Bahamas, then you go to the top. No, you go to the bottom. We don't need no more fast talking or running politicians in this town.
You know, you asked the question earlier about the strengths and weaknesses of the persons who are running. And I did want to say that I had to sit down and think about it a little bit, right? Because I really don't know any of the gentlemen personally. But if I had to pick a strength for, say, Iram Lewis, I would say that he clearly comes from a specific socioeconomic background of Bahamians. And I think that if elevated to a leadership role, persons from that sort of strata of Bahamians would sort of see themselves in him. Mm-hmm. And that's a valuable thing, right?
You're talking about Lewis, right?
Yes, Lewis.
Right, because I dear politicians, this whole I was born on the back of a donkey to two of the poorest subsistence farmers in the history of the Bahamas. While it is a story that resonates. No, it is, see? And then Perry, my mother was a mountain climber. And my father...
Father was a taxi driver and mother was a nurse.
Right, but the taxi driver had to drive to hell every day to pick up the Bahamians and bring them back to wake, right? Like, these stories are... They connect, right? Like, they're good. They work. They draw people in. But they're not very true. And having a real representation of somebody that is less than one generation, less than two generations from this poverty state. I didn't mean to make fun of the PLP like that. They're PLP, I'm sorry. But even Ingram had a similar story, right? This story resonates. And so I guess that's another question that we got to get to after this call I come in right now, which is, which candidate have the best story, right? Who's going to resonate best with Bahamians? But then I still have to ask you about why ain't no women on the list. And then we got to get to this question of youth engagement and shifting the political culture.
And Iram Lewis is an architect. Yes, I would like to thank the FNMs who are in my chat right now, making sure I get it right.
Thank you, FNMs. We appreciate that. Calling you on the clock. Okay, one of you guys, can you take off your headphones and turn the volume up for me?
Hey, morning, Aaron.
Morning,
Aaron.
You good?
Morning, Aaron.
Good, morning.
Can you hear me today?
Yeah, I can hear you.
And good morning to the three gentlemen inside there. Aram is an architect because me and Aram, we schooled together in Grand Bahama. Very fast runner. Was a very fast runner.
See, Mr. that's Green, what happened.
I don't know. Only God one know.
Did we, I forget when he was in the house trying to test the speaker. And I played a song, Ask Me Why I Run. I forget this boy is the runner.
Yes, he was. He represented the Bahamas highly. And I give him that respect.
Good, good.
And we went to school together. And we grew up to the next corner together. So I'm no stranger to him or to his siblings. But Ms. Green, what I'm saying to you this morning, right?
Uh-huh.
You got Mr. Pintard, you got Mr. Thompson, you got Mr. Lewis.
Uh-huh.
But what I don't understand, when they were the government of today, today, right? They didn't speak out. They did not speak out. And that's Ms. Green, that's what, you know, I was talking to someone that's what is make me sick with these people who offering themselves. If you know that you're a part of a government and your government is not doing right, why can't you speak out? And then it's the people who put you there. So what would be the difference between Crazy Thompson, Aram Lewis, or Michael Pintard? No difference, because they didn't speak out then. So why do you think they can speak out now?
Thank you. Look here, DeWitt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look here, I gotta go. Thank you. I got a bunch of texts. That point you make just now, I didn't even forget that. I didn't even forget that. Because for me, what it is it that these guys have spent so much time campaigning within the party and trying to make people within the party feel good and following the party line that they've forgotten that the audition is also for leadership
and
governance?
That's our system. That's our system, Aaron. I hate to say it, but if you make too much noise internally, you're viewed as a troublemaker, and there's pressure on you to come out. I mean, you could be Branville McCartney, who clearly had some disagreements and said, well, you know what, I'm going to separate myself. But we know what happened to Branville McCartney politically after that, and mm-hmm. so many other persons. So the price of getting to the top sometimes in our system is staying quiet until the right moment when you can afford to do more. And I wish it weren't the case, but... Yeah. That's what seems to be happening.
I hope you guys were listening, PYLs and Young Torchbearers. I hope you all were listening. I just need you all to listen a little bit. All right. I'm not trying to tell you go in your party and disrupt nothing. I ain't that type of person. I mean, but if you point, I'll whistle. And then I'll throw the sweet cream. But, yeah. Maybe a little disruption. Okay, so we got some texts here. No, I can't tell the boy that. They tell me when I said the guy had a head like an anvil that day. I could have been Miss Green, Pintard, FNM. I am so glad that you back, Texter. I did miss you. We glad you back. Another text. They are limiting themselves because of the lackluster performance of Tommy Turnquest. It's a huge mistake. If Hubert Ingram were viable, you think anyone would be saying he can't be leader because he's not in the house? Tommy at the time wasn't a leader. His performance has no bearing on what a real leader would do today. They need to remember that only 500 people decide the FNM leader, 170,000 decide the next PM.
I love that quote.
Don't bring us the pot cake. Oh, I take a picture of that text. Thank you very much. Tate, that may be the new slogan for 2020.
Tommy Turnquest was the anvil head you're talking about?
No. There's two separate texts. The boy who didn't know how to select the lane. You don't know, I want to go left. Maybe I should... turn on my signal to go left. Tommy, much smarter than that. I mean, Tommy, you smarter than that. You ain't come back into politics, right?
That's interesting.
Good. He's smarter than that. All right, I got a bunch of texts here, and I got a bunch of callers on the line, and I want to apologize, guys, as I start the show by telling them call in. And I know the show is going to be hot, and we even get to where's Loretta Butler question yet. Kermit, let's go to that first caller. Caller, you on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just wanted to make a comment as it relates to what David was saying, and so he's correct. You know, one of the prerequisites for being a politician should be hypocrisy, because David highlighted a serious problem. It's called group psychology. And so a man really is free, and a man only can be himself if he is alone in the wilderness. And so because it's called a group, they're falling into group psychology. Hence, mostly people and all have given up 3/4 of their characteristics to be someone else. So we really live according to what other people think. So we will never be ourselves. That's all I wanted to say. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, man. It make me feel like I should have played Pat Ramming's song from yesterday today, too. Caller, you're on the clock. Oh, everybody's gone. I am sorry about that. Callers, okay, guys, Let's get to these texts. First text, who sold the fantasy that the tech ecosystem on Grand Bahama has even been planted?
Yeah, I wanted to respond.
Not less taken root. I'm just telling you, somebody said that they thought big things were happening. Not that they have exploded yet, right? But that the groundwork was taking place.
Yeah, but I mean, prior to Hurricane Dorian, we would have had the tech summits that they had on Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
But after, you know, after Hurricane Dorian, we didn't see them anymore in 2019. But I think they were good initiatives. But obviously, Hurricane Dorian kind of upset a lot of different things that the administration was doing, mm-hmm. particularly in Grand Bahama.
All right, I get a text here that says, hi, the only leader in Freeport is Big Mac. These other guys only had their fingers on lips under Minnis. So that's somebody saying that the only politician that showed the type of leadership skills was McElpine. How y'all feel about that?
How do I feel about Frederick McElpine?
I tell you how I feel about it. I think McElpine did a great job this time around, and he rarely, if ever, used homophobic rhetoric to build his his credit.
I knew Denzel was going to laugh.
Right? I thought he did a great job when he didn't do that. He didn't need it, right? He showed that he didn't need that type of gimmick to get attention or to maintain an audience.
He didn't need that. But I feel as though McElpine is somewhat of a showboat, and that's all I see in him, to be honest. I want to say I'm thankful to see that he was able to garner such attention and such support in the general election. But anything beyond that and beyond being showboat, I don't think he's anything more than that to me.
All right.
Yeah. You know, Denzel and I have done youth parliament. And when you do youth parliament, there are persons who come in and they talk substance. And then there are persons who sort of perform like the politicians mm-hmm. they see on TV. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, I think Mr. McElpine, despite having been, from what I'm told, a great MP for his constituency, mm-hmm. is a lot like those politicians some of those young people imitated.
All right. And I want to say good morning to Travis Robinson and good morning to Brave Davis. I don't know how to tell y'all, within 30 seconds of winning your seat, y'all perfectly assumed the old man preacher cadence. Perfectly assumed it. On another note, dear young people, there's no space left for that in politics. All right, just give me your hand. All right, get some callers. Let's get to the callers and then back to the text. It looks like I'm going to have you guys back in next week for the post-election analysis. Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm your guest.
Good morning.
Now, Micah's been on FNM a long time. He's an old-school FNM. He's on the best choice because when Thompson was there under Papa, Thompson didn't say a word in the house. I mean, like, I didn't know the Micah to talk until the last 4 years. And so he didn't say a word. He didn't look. But to get him a good at hand, right?
Yeah.
If McElpine did cross that floor and let...
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, caller. Your audio is so distorted. We get people calling and saying it's difficult even understanding what it is you're saying. But thank you for making that point. You caused me to pick up my Guardian to look at this picture of Kwesi Thompson on the bottom half of the fold. The title on the story is Thompson, FNM must return to its core values. Look here. If it's one piece of rhetoric I don't want to hear never again, it's... The FNM must return to its core values. Y'all been returning.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean when PLPs and FNM say that? I mean, absolutely no disrespect, but
I just wish they
would explain what those core values are.
To be fair, the DNA and the COI them can't say that because they ain't been along around long enough to have core values.
They're in the same boat. But what are you returning to? What are those core values so that persons like myself, like Denzel and Tate, can look and say, okay, these are the core values of the FNM and the PLP.
And especially when you look at what the core values was when they established themselves as a party. Why would you want that to be? Why would you want that to be the rhetoric you're sending out?
Right, because as far as I'm concerned, the core values of the FNM, when they came into power, and that's before they came into the House, right? When they came into power, was the slayers of the PLP. That's their identity. The slayers and the guardians of the economy, right? Like the slayers of the PLP and guardians of the economy. I don't see them having a political identity outside of that.
But that is folklore. That's not written anywhere about guardians of the economy. Yeah. What they like to say, and I don't think it's unfair to say this, is that a lot of FNMs will say we're not the PLP, which makes us good.
Yeah,
and that's not good enough for a lot of people.
No. Yeah.
And seeing how we had the last election and how important youth votes were, why would you want to have that as your rhetoric as a party?
Returning to core values. Yeah, that doesn't resonate with young people.
They're
more concerned about what's going on in the future.
And what are your core values? I can be honest, you don't even know what it is? Or we would have seen it manifested through your speech, through your performance, right through the delivery of services. Do you remember that foreign gentleman created the word deliverology, which is the science of delivering the things that, like when you're a government, it's the science of delivering the thing that you promise? But look here, politicians are fascinating, man. They just make up words and do all kinds of things. Anyway, let's get to these texts. Thank you, Iram is an architect. We got that. Another text, I think Pintard would be best for leader, lawyer or not. Thompson is a lawyer. Also, his uncle is David Thompson. A good timely show, Ms. Green. There is no doubt to me that Grand Bahama seems to be as alleged, FNM country indeed. Notice all candidates who sign up for leadership are MPs in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Wonder why? Absolutely none from New Providence except Minnis, who was a disgrace. Okay, first of all, you can't talk about all FNMs like that. Second of all, my MP is from New Providence.
That's a good grand behavior. That's why I was laughing.
My MP is Adrian White. Hey, born in Nassau, man. And even if he wasn't born in Nassau, his children born here, man. We ain't worried about that. Boy, they look here, they take you all hard. But you know why? Because you all insist the game is called Pokey and not Porkin.
Oh, my God. We're not going to go there today.
All right.
I think it's easier to talk about politics than talk about that.
Okay, dear text. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your number and send you a message so you could send me that great Christmas song list. Another text. This person is basically saying our PM didn't speak out when he was DPM, and Thompson is cousin to the former PM. So he's trying to say that it is a family thing. But I mean, wow, it is. Could it be a family thing?
I feel like everybody is cousin of somebody, at least in this town.
Yeah, but that don't necessarily mean you can be the leader of the FNM. That means that's a good connection. Another text here says, "Great show as usual. Tell your guests." I won a bet, $100, Pintard win. First of all, gambling is illegal.
I almost had to slam the table just now.
You didn't say bam, bam, bam.
You remember who said Michael Pintard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The best member of the spectrum politics team.
Okay, there you go. Not just that, but do you wasting a bet on Pintard and then you can throw it away with $100? Does that make any sense? It don't make any sense.
Yo, what?
Lawyer for leader. Sorry, Pintard. Lawyer for leader. Then this other text says, "Great show as usual, Miss Green. It's Turkey Day, and I'm opposed to how some people bake the turkey.
Amen.
It don't supposed to be dry, so if you bake a dry turkey, you should be fined $150 and 48 hours in prison."
That is the real unifying statement.
I agree. And look here, if you are selling food and people experience illness, foodborne illness after your meal, you're going to get sued. Y'all cannot run your food businesses like these politicians run the government. You have people's lives and bellies in your hands. And ultimately, you gotta take responsibility for them. Can't be like these politicians and just call a snap election and then talk about cabinet secrecy. I can't tell you what the recipe was, miss. You don't wake here. I can't do none of that. But people deserve better. Okay, guys, we are all out of text. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you got 30 seconds, and I got a question for these guys. Oh, you left already. I am so sorry. Okay, guys, why no Loretta? Why no women in this leadership race? And what does that say about this new iteration of FNMs?
Oh, I mean, if you want to ask me.
Don't let the PLP guy answer, please, because we know the answer.
Because, listen, I could go on. I could wax poetic all day about that.
And I think it's a fitting question on the beginning of 16 Days of Activism, the day before the anniversary of women's suffrage movement, and we're in the middle of, or the beginning of National Women's Week as well, right? Why the FNM don't have no women running for leader. And what does that say about the previous administration's attention or commitment to the status of women, ending gender-based violence, domestic violence, and intimate partner violence? And what does it say in the sense of what can we expect from the FNM in the future? I am disappointed.
Can I just say, I am not a fan of tokenism. However, the now president of the United States, Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
he came out on record and said that his VP nominee was going to be a woman,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was sort of done as a way to ensure that, you know, women would be able to break that barrier. And I wonder if any Bahamian politician, particularly the new leader of the FNM come Saturday, would have the guts to say something like that. Because it is really way, way, way past time that both of these political parties have more women at the leadership level of their organizations. Credit to the PLP for having such a relatively large group of women coming in, mm-hmm. but it's still not enough.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with blaming any one particular entity. I don't know what it is that's keeping so many women out of politics and out of parliament. The FNM has two women right now in the Senate, both of whom I believe are great choices in their own regard, particularly Maxine Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she comes on TV, I'm banging on the table at home because she's always saying something that makes sense. And, you know, maybe she should be someone who should be considered.
Because it's very little they could do now that outweighs the statement that the Prime Minister made at COP26 with that image of his wife leaning over him like the teacher. But that's not the most important part. The most important part was his submission. Right? His willingness to be seen, to be open to correction and guidance from his wife, right? From the partnership of male and female, that balance. The FNM will have a hard work, the DNA, the COI, the UCM, if you all stick together, they're going to have hard work living up to just that image. That image alone that set the tone for the way forward. Now, dear Brave Davis, you guys live up to the same image. I live up to the same image. Anyway, guys, we all out of time. Tell the audience how they could contact Spectrum Politics if they want to row you, because they shouldn't row me for my opinion or your opinion.
Yeah, we're humble participants in democracy. Our team is expanding, so if you are a young person listening or you know someone who is young, interested in politics, please tell them to follow us at Spectrum POL on Twitter, Spectrum Politics on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll have more content coming soon.
Now, Mr. Bazard, I sure they can let you back into the PLP. You safe? Tate, they ain't gonna let you join nobody. And Jace, don't worry, I'm working on a secret project with you. Look here, somebody sneak in the last text, and then I gotta go. Having a woman was the only way Biden could win, especially a black woman. Well, I tell you what, Iram. If you win, you know you gotta bring a woman with you as deputy, and then you gotta rule. You gotta rule. Anyway, tune in. Stay tuned into Guardian 96.9 FM. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. You guys have a great day. And next week, I'm bringing these guys back on for the post-election analysis. And their FNMs, y'all send somebody. Don't let me talk about y'all bad again next week. Thank you, Bahamas. Thank you to my Texas. Have a great day. Bombs.